The Leadership File on Premier.
So welcome to The Leadership File, bringing you conversations with leaders and experts on leadership themes. I'm Andy Peck, your host. And as COVID-19 hit the world, many of us have gone into lockdown, directed, of course, by the wise council of our nation's leaders. But thankfully, there are Christians in charities such as Samaritan's Purse who have not gone into retreat but advanced towards the trouble to provide relief and support to those most affected. And I'm delighted to be joined on the Leadership File by Darren Tosh, who's the Executive Director of Samaritan's Purse UK. He's based in North London. So welcome, Darren, to the Leadership File.
Thank you. It's great to be able to chat with you today.
So your journey into Samaritan's Purse, first of all?
Well, I've been with the organization for 20 years now, which is amazing. This has essentially been my professional life. However, I didn't necessarily have the most stellar start with the organization. I simply applied into the organization and was quite bluntly told by the HR team that I had nothing to offer. And so my initial entry into the organization was a rejection letter.
Well, what a wonderful story. sad story.
But, well, I love telling it because, you know, it really represents, you know, a story of, you know, don't necessarily take no as an answer the first time and really take a look at what you do need to do to change both your own portfolio and your skill set, and so that things might work out. So here I am 20 years later. I'm now leading the UK office, and having all started really actually from a rejection letter, but through some professional development and recognizing that I didn't maybe have the right skill set to begin with, I re-entered the organization shortly thereafter that first rejection, and really worked my way up into leadership from the lowest point on the entry was as an intern. And so I started as an intern and served the organization in that capacity and gradually worked my way into this role today. So it's been an incredible journey, and most of it, quite honestly, has been working overseas. Sure. And serving in the as hands and feet of the organization as we end up representing Jesus across the world. And so most of my career has really been through Asia primarily, and but more recently in the past few years here in the UK.
Sure. And you're from North America yourself?
Yes, I'm a Canadian. I'm grew up in rural Canada in a beautiful setting in the shadow of the Rocky Mountains. And it was a wonderful way to be able to grow up as part of a farm family. And as I, you know, one of the things that I really encourage people as they end up getting into this line of work in particular, you know, farm kids are amazing because farm kids are resilient and they're, you know, you can travel the world over and a farmer is a farmer no matter what country they're in, whether they're in England or in Cambodia or Brazil. Farming communities, you know, they all have the same struggles and the same importance placed on community and their neighbors and dependence on each other. And so as a farm kid, I think God built something into me to be able to work well overseas. And that just, you know, was really part of my ministry story. And so I really credit my community and my parents for giving me that gifting and that experience at a young age that has just been so valuable over the years. So it all started from a farm in Alberta, Canada, and today now I sit in London helping to lead a wonderful international organization.
Well, I'm not sure if poultry farming counts, but I'm a son of a agriculture merchant who had a poultry farm, so I grew up on a semi-farm as well. So, Christmas Eve shoveling poultry manure when the auger broke down is part of my history as well. So there we go. But on to more sober matters. You're of course work worldwide, providing education and relief in countries. And especially at work with COVID-19. I was thrilled to hear of some of the things Samaritan's Purse have been involved with. Maybe you could share some of those and, what you've been doing on the ground, as it were.
The coronavirus pandemic has been a, an incredible focus and ministry opportunity for Samaritan's Purse over the past few months. We, as the pandemic was beginning to expand and grow, we were luckily invited by the Italian government to be helping in just south of Milan, Italy, and that became our initial focus as to where we could help. And Samaritan's Purse over the years has developed some tremendous capacity in health programming. And one of the areas that really grew out of our Ebola response a few years ago was the emergency field hospitals. So we actually have in our warehouses a couple field hospitals, which are military grade hospital units that we can fly into a location and set up to be able to assist. And if you remember a few months ago, Italy was the hot spot
Yes,
and
indeed, yeah.
the hospital was overrun. One place in particular, a city called Cremona, just south of Milan, was truly in the thick of it. And they had a 600-bed hospital with over 500 of those beds were filled with coronavirus patients. And they were at absolute capacity to the point, actually, that of those 500 coronavirus patients, 100 of them were their own team. Their own team were unable to were in hospital and unable to work because they were needing treatment. So, working with the Italian government and the World Health Organization, we deployed a 70-bed hospital to Italy, and we set it up on the grounds of the Cremona Hospital and added not only bed capacity, but we added medical capacity because they needed to get well themselves. So we had a team of over 100 people serving in Italy and taking care of over 300 patients in the end. And it was a tremendous blessing to that community. And we have just packed up the hospital just this past week. And the mayor of Cremona ceremoniously thanked our team. And so a number of our members are returning back to the UK as honorary citizens of Cremona because the community was truly impacted. And so it was a tremendous outreach and something that took a great deal of risk. Our people end up having to assess the risk as they end up joining these types of programs. And so we're very, very blessed to have an amazing team that said that, yes, I want to serve. Yes, I want to go to Italy and be at the center of this. And it's been a tremendous opportunity for ministry in Italy.
Well, that is an astonishing story, Darren. Thank you. Very, very moving. And also New York City, I
That's
understand
right.
you're involved.
Yeah, we once the pandemic grew, we recognized that New York was then the next center of the pandemic. And so, as the U.S. has unfortunately experienced an explosive rate of infections and deaths, we did set up another field hospital in New York. And not only in New York, it was literally in New York Central Park. And
Oh, wow.
so the very first time in 100 years that such a facility was ever even considered. And so right in Central Park there's an emergency field hospital that again was serving, and it was tied in with the local hospital system. And there was two hospitals in particular that asked us to increase their capacity by converting some of their reception areas into additional wards. So that program is slowly coming to closure as they start to not need the extra capacity. And so in New York, I believe it was again well over 350 patients have been assisted through that field hospital. And a fantastic way for the Christian community and local churches in New York and Cremona to really bear witness to, what are we called to as Christians to do in these times of crisis. And so it was a wonderful opportunity to be sharing, God's love in that way in those two cities.
And you've also been able to provide PPE in the UK.
It's been a tremendous opportunity here as we have the NHS, and they were able to increase their capacity through the Nightingale Hospitals. We took a look at what were the opportunities for service here, and we said that, there clearly wasn't the need for the field hospitals, but what a tremendous opportunity for us to be able to work with the local churches and Christian charities who are either wanting to do outreach and caring for the vulnerable and the isolated, but maybe don't have the equipment to do so, or to help bolster those who already were doing amazing things who just needed a bit more. So we obviously have good supply chains into good quality medical supplies. And so we chose to redirect some of those supplies here into the UK and then distribute it out to churches in particular, but also other charities. So right now we've got 400 churches that are connected to us who have received both grants and PPE to help protect them as they minister. And it's just some amazing things that are happening out there. I mean, the church is really doing some fantastic things. There's so many small communities now that have pop-up food banks. There's some intriguing work that's happening with, how do you help young people who are stuck at home? And churches are coming up with some very creative ways of doing activity packs and connecting with single moms that might be needing extra support. And then, of course, there's our care homes that just need assistance. And it's we love being able to support the local church to be able to reach out to those care homes. And if we can equip them with proper face masks and gloves and whatnot, it's something that we're really excited to see and we know is a blessing into those care homes as well.
Well, I'm joined this week by Darren Tosh, who's Executive Director of Samaritan's Purse UK, based in London. continue to listen as we continue this amazing story. You'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Darren Tosh. Darren is the Executive Director of Samaritan's Purse UK, based in North London. We talked before the break of his journey from Calgary, Alberta in Canada, to serve in Samaritan's Purse in various parts of the world, and now how he ends up in North London, and how Samaritan's Purse as a charity has been able to serve both those in Northern Italy, New York City, and indeed within the UK. Darren, I saw some footage of you personally speaking about Ebola, and you mentioned that in your comments about the pandemic via COVID-19. Do you think that experience has assisted you as a charity in being able to be swift in your response?
Yeah, the Ebola experience from 5 years ago very much, it shaped, it had an impact. You can't go through an Ebola situation without being reshaped, I think, as an organization. So for those of you who might not remember it, there was a tremendously vicious outbreak of Ebola in West Africa, and we have a field office in Liberia, and Liberia was at the center of so much of that outbreak. And not only were we caught in the middle of it in terms of the ministry trying to care for those that were impacted, but some of our own staff actually caught Ebola, and one of our doctors famously caught Ebola. And there's a tremendous there's a tremendous story for another day about how he survived that experience. But we were the first organization to actually airlift an Ebola patient out of West Africa, and we took him into the United States, where he then was fully recovered. And it was a time of great fear as an organization. We knew that we were called to serve in West Africa. We knew that these were our communities and our churches that we were passionately wanting to protect and care for. And one part of Samaritan's Purse is called World Medical Mission, where we work with over 50 mission hospitals around the world. And when you have that team that is focused on medical outreach, we knew that we had to be doing more, and the country was at the brink of medical collapse without us simply adding in more and more capacity. And so from that experience, not only was there the practical learning of how you end up running a field hospital and how you deal with severe quarantine conditions, and you gain expertise in how you handle very deadly infectious diseases, but you also learn a lot about how you end up engaging with the church, how you end up doing ministry in new ways, how you end up protecting your own staff. And it was a very fearful time for us, but it was also a time where we saw God so much respond through our staff and our local church partners, and we saw God move in great ways. We were, you know, we have this wonderful testimony of Dr. Brantley surviving Ebola, and it's from those moments of seeing God move and learning from them that we move in confidence to be able to work in Italy and New York City and around the world with coronavirus.
Sure. And Darren, as you reflect upon your journey, you talked about starting as an intern and now you're executive director of Samaritan's Purse UK. In terms of your leadership development, I mean, how does Samaritan's Purse develop folk? Is it kind of learning on the job, as you said, from experience? Do you have programs? Do you mentoring? What are the kind of approaches that you take to help someone face these astonishing crisis situations?
I think that we, as an organization, we've certainly developed a lot over the years since I entered into the program. But I think we have developed a very wise way of bringing people in and onboarding them so that they're really, you know, with a ministry like Samaritan's Purse, where we are intentionally running into the fire, when we're intentionally moving towards disaster, you really do need to be wise in who you bring into the organization. And we're a very large organization. We've over 3,000 employees deployed around the world. So over the years, the emphasis on, you know, really ensuring that we're hiring people and we're bringing people in who have the right calling, who have an understanding that God has really called them into this type of ministry, has been really important. Once you're in the organization, we have very formal training programs. We have not only the internship program, which is a fantastic way for, you know, anyone with a bachelor's level degree or a college degree, they can then apply as an intern and have anything from a 3-month to a 1-year internship experience. And those interns are very well onboarded and prepped, and then they end up serving in a variety of places around the world. And it's, you know, many of our best staff have come through that program. We've also more recently introduced an apprenticeship scheme, which is similar to what we might see in the UK, for formal apprenticeships. But the difference is really that we end up bringing people and rotating them through a number of departments, because as young people end up entering into ministry, they often don't really know the areas that they have the part that gives them great joy and what God has gifted them. So we end up rotating them through not only the field offices where they're physically working in water and sanitation, but we also give them opportunities within the back end office where the project management happens, where the finance happens, where communications and IT happens. So it's we certainly recognize that there's some of the best training, the best employees that we've had over the years have really come about through us investing quite heavily through growing them internally. That's not to say that we aren't hiring fantastic people cold, you know, into senior level positions, but it really is an organization that focuses on young professionals and getting them equipped for full-time, lifetime ministry.
Yeah. And sometimes folk comment on work like yours and say, well, this is physical, you know, bereavement, which is all very alleviating of physical stress. Which is all very well, but you often miss the spiritual side. But I understand, and I've certainly seen videos of folk within Samaritan's Purse praying with those who they seek to serve, as opportunity arises, sharing something of the good news of Jesus with them.
Yeah, absolutely. We, as an organization, there's really no delineation or bifurcation of the spiritual needs from the physical needs.
Sure.
We holistically go into all of our work trying to, you know, meet both the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of people. And, you know, our mission statement is very much focused on recognizing that we are there to share God's love, and We want to have the local church as an active part of that. We serve the church globally by trying to partner with them, you know, as in every opportunity, whether that's in a disaster scenario or quite honestly, our largest program is all about church resourcing through Operation Christmas Child, where we partner with tens of thousands of churches on an annual basis and resource them with not only the Operation Christmas Child shoebox gifts at Christmas, but the discipleship program that then follows on afterwards. It's we very much value our local church partners domestically and internationally. I know that when we, you know, one of the last disasters that I personally had to lead a team through was the Nepal earthquake in 2015. And that was, you know, we had a very difficult situation of flying into Kathmandu, Nepal, setting up a team of disaster relief specialists. But we were there with the church, and it was through the church that we were able to help over 200,000 people receive shelter materials. And it was only because of the church that we could do that. When you think of some of these countries, you know, like Nepal or the DRC Congo, you need the local church because they're the ones who are able to access the areas that truly are in immense need. When an earthquake hits or a hurricane strikes, you lose access, you lose logistics, but the church is always so well positioned to be able to care for their neighbors. And so Samaritan's Purse is a very, very deep commitment to being able to share the gospel and to equip the local church to really represent Jesus in every opportunity that they have.
Yeah. And time's almost defeated us, Darren, but 2020 sees Samaritan's Purse celebrate its 50th anniversary.
Yes, yeah, it's amazing. It's an organization that is still, you know, evolving and growing tremendously, but Dr. Bob Pierce founded Samaritan's Purse, and who also founded World Vision, started the organization 50 years ago, and here we are today with offices in Germany and the UK, Canada, Australia, and the US, and then field offices across 19 other locations. So it's it continues to grow, and God continues to use us in great ways, and we're thankful that our donors and church supporters have been able to help us grow over the years and serve. We're excited to see what will be happening next. We keep watching what will happen with the coronavirus pandemic and seeing if there might be further deployments of the field hospitals. But we, you know, as an organization, we wait on really God's prompting, and we're never too sure what He's going to be calling us into. But I'm sure that the next few years will be very exciting.
Sure. And Darren, well, it's great that you're in North London now. Are you here for a fixed term? Is it open ended?
This is home. Yeah, this is home now. So we're doing our best as Canadians to establish ourselves here and thoroughly enjoying living in England. And I must admit that I love the fact that we don't have those harsh Canadian winters anymore. And it's great sure. to be here now.
That's fabulous. Well, some Canadians I speak to say they feel more British than they feel American. I don't know. I don't want to insult any Americans listening, but I don't know if you feel that sense of affinity or not. But there we go.
It's amazing. We didn't realize that how much our British heritage, because I'm actually was able to arrive into the UK quite easily because my grandfather is Scottish.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how much my family actually carried all of those traditions into our lives in Canada until I came here.
Yeah.
So it's been actually a really pleasant and wonderful transition.
Oh, wonderful.
Coming back. Yeah.
Well, Darren, it's been, you know, as an interviewer, I haven't been able to kind of gasp all the time as I've been listening to some of the things you've been sharing, but it's been very moving to hear that both the numbers and the volume and the charitable attitude of your staff towards some of these crises. So thank you so much, and I think many on my behalf would want to say thank you that you're standing for Christ in some of these tough places.
Thank you, Andy. It's been great talking to you.
So you've been listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Darren Tosh. He's the executive director of Samaritan's Purse UK, based in North London. You can of course listen again online via the Premier's website, or go to iTunes or Podbeam, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to other shows just like this one. It's been a joy to have you along. Do join us again next Sunday at 4 o'clock. And the words of the Apostle Paul as we close And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.